God, we honor you tonight as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Holy Spirit, and I pray that you'll open our hearts. I pray, God, that you'll open our spirits to receive. Lord, whatever you want us to understand tonight and receive and just have a fresh revelation of, I ask, God, for every individual. Lord, you know where they're at. You know their circumstances. You know their hearts. You know their background. I ask, God, that you will shine your light on that word or that something that I'll share, Lord, that is important for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a question for you before I start. Who have you ever considered doing the Comrades Marathon? Great, one. Anyone else? Two. Who have you ever done it? Have you done it, Anne-Marie? And you, okay. Okay, but who have you ever done athletics at school? Okay, but not, I'm not talking about long jump or high jump or 100 meter sprint. I'm not talking about quite a long distance, maybe a 3,000. Okay, there's quite a few. Okay. Now, I want you to picture, maybe if you've done it, you know, Hanley, I so wished that she was here tonight because she did the two oceans earlier this year. And she did quite well. She's quite a superwoman when it comes to that kind of a thing. But yeah, I want you to picture somebody who's running a race. Okay, that was the best picture I could find. But somebody who's running a race with a huge backpack. And in that backpack is quite a few heavy things, you know. You can put anything in there that you want. Maybe a few 2 liters of Coke. Maybe a few vacuum-packed steaks, you know, that the guys would take on a trip when they go hiking, because they can't survive without it, you know, their vacuum-packed steaks. Whatever you want to put in the backpack, just imagine somebody, you know, either doing a 3,000 or quite a long distance run, or doing something like the Comrades. Now you having this thing on your back, full of heavy things that you've packed in there, and now you need, you're trying to make progress, but it's either very slow or it's just, you can't make progress at all. So do you have this picture? Okay, of this guy, he looks fit, you know, he's going for it, but there's this backpack and it's slowing him down. And you know what? I believe in our Christian walk. I don't really want to say walk because the Bible says we're running a race. I believe this in many of our lives, there's this backpack full of stuff that the Bible says we need to lay aside, we need to get rid of. And I want to show you a scripture in Hebrews 12. And it's going to be on the screen, but for those of you who have your Bibles, please turn there. Okay, I want you to see it for yourself. It's Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. So for those of you who have your Bibles, please turn to Hebrews 12. That's going to be my key scripture, okay? So everything I'm going to talk about is, I'm going to trace back to this. It says, therefore also, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside, first of all, every weight, and let us lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. I want to read that again. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So first of all, the scripture says we need to lay aside every weight. Now that could be many things. Okay, it could be worries, concerns, it could be a burden, it could be the cares of this world, it could be financial cares, I mean, it could be many things. I believe all of us, we live in a world where there's just so many things expected of us and so much pressure all the time. You know, whether you are young or old or at school, you know, I know people always say, you know, matric. You know, Gareth, people will tell you, no, matric. It's nothing. You must get to varsity. You know, that is difficult. when you're matric, you tell the people, oh, grade 10, nothing, man. What are you complaining about? You know, no, when you start working, then life gets hard. You know, all of us, you go through these stages, but no matter where you are, there's pressure. And there are things expected of you. And you will have cares and concerns and worries. That for the rest of our lives, we would need to face that. And, you know, it could even be something that you think is a godly burden that you're carrying. You know, like trying to be a good wife or a good husband or a good mom or a good dad or a good employee. Or you think it's a good thing, but now you're taking this heavy weight upon yourself, and it becomes hard work. Hard work. I remember when I was looking for a school for Vian, my baby boy, I started working 2.5 weeks ago. So I, just shortly after we arrived in East London, I had to start looking for him, or looking for a school for him. And you know, for me it was this massive decision, because I realized I need to find the right one for him. But after a while I realized that it's becoming such a big thing for me. I'm taking this responsibility upon myself that maybe if I make a mistake choosing the wrong school and something happens, you know, then I've made the mistake. You know, and I came to a point where I said to God, Lord, I cannot carry this. It was like a weight on my shoulders. I said to God, Lord, okay, even if I choose the wrong school, I believe you're going to look after him and protect him. And you know, it was as if something fell off my shoulders, where I was trying to do the right thing, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, trusting God to guide you and finding the right school for your baby boy. But to me it became a burden, a huge burden, and I had to give it to God. And I'm sure that all of you somewhere, maybe right at this moment, sitting with a burden. And the Bible says, if we want to run this race with endurance, if we want to endure till the end, we need to get rid. We need to lay aside every weight. You know, even if it's a small thing, we need to lay it aside. And I want to show you three scriptures. Okay, I'm going to help you tonight to let go of all these burdens and worries that is just spoiling our lives, eh? It's really just tormenting us. It's taking all the fun out of our lives. And the Bible says we should lay aside. Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. It's Jesus visiting Mary and Martha. You all know the story. It was Martha's house. Her sister was Mary. And Mary was running around. Okay? I can relate. No, sorry. Martha. Martha was running around. And I must say, I tend to be a little bit more like Martha. Okay, so I can really relate to that. And there's nothing wrong. I need to say that there's nothing wrong with serving. I think we need a lot more servants in the house of God or in the world today. People are just willing to serve. There's nothing wrong with preparing for guests or being, you know, the gift of hospitality is something I need to be. I think we can all work on, because it's so great. But the problem was that Martha was distracted, and I want to read that to you. You know, she came to Jesus. Mary was just sitting, you know, chatting to Jesus. Martha was running around, you know, preparing the best meal for Jesus and doing all the preparations. You know, but I always think, you know, if Mary, that is not the point, okay, I want to make, but just, if Mary maybe had helped Martha a little bit, maybe they could have both sit at the feet of Jesus. That's what I thought. But okay, that's not the point I want to make. Okay? But maybe if Mary just did a bit. Okay, but this is not the point at all. So please, if you're going to remember this, please forget about what I just said. Okay? Jesus said to her, she came to Jesus. She was distracted. She approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered her. I think she was surprised by the answer. You know, I honestly think, you know, she said, Jesus, tell her to help me. You know, I think she actually thought Jesus was gonna tell Mary, go, Mary, go help her quickly, and then we can talk again. But Jesus said very interestingly, he says to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Isn't that very interesting? You know, so it seems as if Jesus prefers us to be lazy. No? You know, there's something about sitting at the feet of Jesus. There's something about spending time with him that in God's eyes is so important. It's even more important than, you know, this good meal or this all these preparations that Martha was doing. If God can choose, he wants us to spend time with him. He wants us to sit at his feet. And you know, as I said, there's nothing wrong with working. You know, all of us have responsibilities and we need to work and we need to do things. But compared to that time with God, compared to that place where we sit at Jesus' feet and where we get impartation from who he is, there's no comparison. Okay? And I believe if Martha also just took out a bit of time out of her busy schedule and just sit at the feet of Jesus and just relax and just get that impartation from who he is, she wouldn't have been worried and troubled. Okay, because it wasn't the preparations. It wasn't the serving. She was worried and she was troubled and she was distracted. And you know, isn't that a picture of our lives? Distraction, worries, trouble. There's so many things that worries and trouble us. And we need to make time to sit at the feet of Jesus and to get rid of all those worries. You know, we need to make time for God. Sometimes we need to be aggressive. We need to switch off our cell phones. We need to switch off the television. We need to close the door. We need to arrange for somebody to look after your baby, if you have a baby, or whatever, you know, is filling your time. And we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. It's extremely important. You know, our time is filled with so many things. You know, and sometimes we just need to become practical and say, okay, what is filling our time? What is taking up all our time? Because, you know, in my life, I'm honest, if I get really busy, especially at work, then the first thing that I neglect is my time with God. I'm very honest with you. It's when I get very busy and when I get stressed and there's so many things to do, the easiest thing to neglect is your time with God. And that's in my life for sure. I'm honest with you. And you know, sometimes you just need to put practical things in place. You know, I always thought when you have a dishwasher, it's lazy and rich people who have dishwashers. So please, if you have a dishwasher, I'm not saying that you're lazy and rich, because I have now one too. Praise God. You know, it's amazing. I grew up with this whole thing, when you have a dishwasher, it's, you know, people who don't know what to do with their money, and people who are really lazy, you know. And it's amazing, about 2-3 years ago, when we built our house in Cape Town, Andre and I just spoke about it, and we said, okay, but let's do this now for the first time in our lives. And I'm telling you, I mean, that's maybe a silly example, okay? But it changed our lives. It multiplied my time. It really multiplied my time. It was an investment in so many other areas in my life. You know, and Andre says it's his best friend. Andre enjoys the dishwasher, but in any case, you know, maybe that's a silly example, but we need to make time for the Lord. That's the only point I want you to get now, that we need to make time for God. And if there are so many things that's stealing our time, we need to make a plan with those things, okay? If you're washing dishes all the time, if that takes up all your time, maybe there's a season, okay? God can use many things to speak to us. Maybe he wants you to wash dishes for now in your life. But whatever is taking up your time. Compare that to sitting at the feet of Jesus and ask yourself, is it really worth it running around doing all these things? Okay, compared to spending time with the Lord. Then Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Okay, I'm talking about this race we are running, okay? We have these weights upon our shoulders, burdens, worries, cares, all those things. And the Bible says we need to lay it aside. But we can't do it unless we first make time for God. Okay, that's the very first thing. We need to find time to sit at the feet of Jesus. Then Philippians 4 says, be anxious for nothing. Have you ever thought about that? Nothing. You know, every time I read the scripture, I see something new. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing is nothing. Nothing. Okay, there's nothing that we should be anxious about. And it says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So once we now found time in our busy schedule, okay, to spend time with God, what do we do now to get rid of all these worries? We pray and we thank Him and we say, God, I'm giving it to You. I'm giving it to You because You say be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Lord, so whatever is now on my table or on my shoulders that is making me anxious, God, I'm giving it. It says by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank You that I can give all of this to You. Okay, it's so important to get rid of our anxieties. You know, and it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. Sometimes we go through a long period of really feeling anxious about something. You know, and it's something that we should maybe do on a daily basis. I'm not saying that we're going to do it once and then everything's going to be fine. Sometimes we need to persevere, and that's what I'm going to come to tonight. We're not giving up after 1 week or 1 month or even 1 year. We're running this race and we're persevering until Jesus comes back. Amen? We're persevering because this is what the Bible says. Those who endure till the end shall be saved. So, we should be anxious for nothing. And even if we are anxious and we've prayed 50 times, we're not going to give up. We're not going to quit and say, okay, this thing is not working. You know, we're going to make time again for the Lord. And we again are going to pray and thank Him and give it to Him. I want to take you to another scripture, Psalm 37 verse 5. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He shall bring it to pass. How many of you have been to the zoo in East London? Okay, the majority of you, okay. I'll come back to the zoo, but that word commit. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He will bring it to pass. You know what that word commit means? Or when you go back to the Hebrew, the root word, it means to roll your works into God's care. To roll it. To roll everything into God's care. Now the picture is, Karen, just go to the next slide. The picture is of a camel. Do you all see the camel? When I went to the zoo a couple of months ago, for the first time in my life, I saw a real camel. Two, actually. They are the funniest animals. I've seen many pictures of camels, but I've never seen a live camel. So for those of you who haven't seen a camel, go to the zoo, okay? That word commit, it means the picture is of a camel burdened with a heavy load. That one looks quite happy, eh? It doesn't look that burdened. But does it look tired? I hope so. Okay, great. The picture is of a camel burdened with a heavy load. When the load is to be removed, the camel kneels down and it tilts far to the one side and then the load rolls off. Okay, that is the picture of that word, commit your way unto the Lord. So it means you it's like a camel having this heavy load, and when it needs to be removed, it goes on its knees, which is such a beautiful picture for me as well. We need to go on our knees. We need to go to God. And it tilts to the one side and it rolls off. I mean, isn't that beautiful? That is what we need to do. We need to make time for the Lord. We need to find time to close our door, to switch off our cell phone, to switch off the television, where it's you and God and the two of you alone. We need to give our anxieties to Him by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. And we need to roll off all our cares unto God. He can handle it, eh? God's got broad shoulders. He can handle all the cares in this world. All of our cares together, God can take and He can handle it. Okay, that's the first one. We need to lay aside every weight. Okay, are you all still with me? Okay, the next one, it says, let us lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares us. Okay, and sin is something that we shouldn't focus on too much when we're serving God. But tonight, I want to focus a little bit on sin that so easily ensnares us. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12 in the Amplified. Very interesting scripture. It says, everything is permissible, allowable and lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Not all things are good for me to do, expedient and profitable when considered with other things. So everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Okay? I'm not talking now about murdering somebody. Okay? That's not permissible. I'm not talking about stealing your neighbor's wife or stealing or all those things, you know, the Ten Commandments. That's not permissible. I'm talking about things that are permissible. And I'm going to use two examples now that it will make sense to you. And I want to explain something to you tonight that maybe you thought about it before, maybe you heard it, but it's something that I really think we often miss in the church and as Christians. If the Bible says everything is permissible, it means everything is permissible, okay? As I say, I'm not talking about things like the Ten Commandments, where God is very specific on that we shouldn't do. But the best example I can give you, one example, is watching movies. It's really permissible to watch movies. Do you agree? Do you watch movies? Okay, great. It's really permissible to watch movies, but maybe the person next to you, the person in this church, your best buddy, your best friend, can watch a movie and it's perfectly fine. And it's fine between him and God. He's got absolute peace about it. But for you to watch that same movie might not be beneficial. Okay, are you following? And I think sometimes we miss it. You know, Andre and I, we had very good friends of ours recommending movies to us. You know, I specifically remember one time we watched this movie, a recommendation from a very, very good friend of Andre. And after half an hour, we just switched it off. You know, and I just realized that what is good for him, or what is beneficial and fine and good for him, is maybe not good for us, or not fine with us. But it doesn't mean that we can judge him now, okay? We can't go to him and say, how can you watch this movie? You know, are you out of your mind? Do you know what they do and what they say? Unless you are in a friendship relationship with him and unless God releases you to do that. So I'm not going to talk about that now. But what I'm saying is what is good and fine and what is acceptable for one Christian is maybe not acceptable for you. Because it could be that you come from a background when you struggled with something with pornography, or you struggled with something into, you know, that's in that movie that could not be good for you, but for somebody else it's fine. I'm not talking now about 16 language sex and violence kind of movies. Okay, we should preferably all stay away from that. I'm talking about these parental guidance or 13 movies where it really looks fine and then all of a sudden there's something in there that's really not good for you. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. So what I'm saying tonight is I want to link it back to Andre's sermon 2 weeks ago where he said we need to walk in the Spirit. So for me, something might be fine, but then for somebody else, she'd rather stay away from that. We should be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's a different season in your life. Maybe it's a season where God just wants you to stay away from all movies for a couple of months. You know, or maybe magazines for the girls. It's really fine to page through a magazine. It's really fine. It's permissible. But maybe for you, in this season in your life, maybe you should stay away from that. Even though everybody is buying that one magazine. All the girls in the church are buying that one magazine. But maybe you shouldn't. Are you following what I say tonight? The Bible says everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. You know, and it's sometimes I think when it comes to sin, it says it can easily ensnare us. It can easily ensnare us. It can, before you know it, you are ensnared by this thing. You know, and it can also become this heavy weight. It can be so part of your life and it's holding you back. You're running this race, but you're not making progress because it's a sin that so easily ensnares you. You know, and I think often we are very casual when it comes to sin. We say, no, but, you know, God will understand my heart. God knows me. He understands my heart. And I think we become very casual with something like sin. And once again, you know, I'm not talking about no murder and stealing and those kind of thing. I'm talking about these small things. And I believe that is what the Bible means. It can so easily ensnare us. There's a scripture in Psalm 97, verse 10. It says, you love the Lord, hate evil. Hate is a very strong word. I mean, if you hate, the Bible says if we hate somebody, we have committed murder in our hearts towards that person. So if the Bible says we need to hate evil, it's a very strong word. We need to hate evil. You know, and I want to ask you tonight, are we at a point in our lives as Christians where we hate evil? I don't always think we are, because we allow evil into our homes so easily. We allow evil into our lives, into our eyes, and what we hear, what we see so easily. I don't think we are actually at a point where we hate evil. You know, and sometimes I think we're just so casual with sin. And it makes this race that we're running, it makes it difficult. As I said, the Bible says when we hate somebody, we've committed murder in our hearts. It says if we look at a woman lustfully, or a man, the other side, if we look lustfully at somebody, we've committed adultery with that person in our hearts. That the standard is so high. You know, there's grace. You know, Andre's been talking about grace this year so often. There's grace. God empowers us to do the right thing. And Jesus has made a way for us to walk in holiness and in purity. But because of that, the standard is extremely high. You know, we can't get away anymore with even the smallest thing. Like, I want to use another example. Something like white lies or even just exaggerating. You know, you're telling the story and you want to impress. Now you say, you know what? There were 10,000 people at that meeting and 9,000 got saved. Okay, that's a very Christian example. But anything, you know, I studied for 10 hours. Right through the night. But you know what? You maybe studied for 6. It was really not right through the night. Maybe you experienced it. You know, that is how you felt. But you know what? We often, and I know this is a bit sensitive, eh? We all do it. But I want to challenge you tonight when it comes to stories and when it comes to telling things to other people and you want to make it interesting, you know, you want to just tell a good story, but now you're not telling the truth. And you know what happened to me once? I lied to my boss, but I think 4 or 5 years ago. I had quite a difficult boss. Okay, I was very afraid of him at that stage, and he wanted me to speak to somebody asking her not to do something again. I'm not going to go into the detail now, but and I said, no, of course I'll do that. And then I think 2 or 3 weeks after that, he asked me, did you do it? And, you know, at that very moment, I could see that, you know, it's not, if I tell him I haven't yet spoken to her, then he's going to come down on me. So I just said, yes, I did, with the intention, okay, very good intention, of doing it immediately afterwards. And we were busy with a quite a hectic audit, and I got so busy, I completely forgot. Okay, so now I'm sitting with this problem, and I mean, I completely forgot about it. And then a week afterwards, that girl I was supposed to speak to did the exact same thing again. Okay, she wasn't supposed to. Oh, it's a long story, but she did the same thing again, and he picked it up. Now he was cross with her because I told him I did speak to her. Okay, now he was cross with her, and it was a big mess. It was a complete mess. So I had to now cover up in a sense because I told him I can't now tell him I didn't speak to her. I should have actually, okay? It would have maybe solved everything. But the one thing led to the other. And in the end, I kind of covered the whole situation, okay? It worked out, but I lied. And I had to cover it up with a few other more white lies to cover this whole situation. It was so silly, but I was afraid of him, so I lied. So you know what? A year later, more or less a year later, Pastor Fred's wife, Lisol, she preached one evening, and she just, by the way, mentioned in a sermon, you know, that God hates lying, and he does. You know, in Proverbs it says that's one of the 7 things that God hates. And I don't think God hates many things, but he hates lying. And you know, it hit me like lightning. And God reminded me, he said, Sonika, do you realize that you lied to your boss? And I want you to go and repent. I want you to go back to him and say that you lied. And I said to God, Lord, you can't do this to me. Lord, I'm going to die. You can't do this to me, Lord. This is so unfair. You can't expect this of me. And the Holy Spirit didn't leave me alone. I'm telling you, I cried for a week because I was so embarrassed. I thought, I can't go back to him and tell him that I lied to him. And the Holy Spirit didn't leave me alone. And I wrote a long email. You know, I said to God, please, Lord, I can't face him. I'll write an email. I wrote this long email explaining the whole thing from the start to the end. You know, and the silly thing is they weren't bothered at all. He said to me, you know, if you're so worried about this, go and bich by die priester. You know, he wasn't worried at all. It happened so long ago, they couldn't even remember. But I realized then how strongly God feels about a white lie. You know, even just something to get you out of trouble. And since then, the fear of God is upon me when it comes to the truth, when it comes to not speaking the truth. Really, I experience the fear of God whenever I'm in a situation where I have the opportunity to now actually not speak the truth. I think back to that situation. I think never in my life do I want to go back again and say I lied. So I just realized how strongly God feels about something so small like that. And I've realized that, you know, sin is something that can so easily creep into our lives. It can so easily be part of our lives and we're not even aware of it. Okay, so Hebrews 12, it says, we're running this race. We need to get rid of every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and we should not tolerate that. And I want to encourage you to ask God. It might be extremely difficult, but ask God to shine His light upon areas in your life where there's sin that you need to get rid of. Okay, then it says, let us run with endurance. Okay, my sin topic's finished. You can sit back and relax. We're going to talk about endurance now. The Bible says we need to run this race with endurance. And Hebrews 10 verse 36, it says, for you have need of endurance. We have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For those of you who don't have a Spirit-filled life Bible, get yourself one. Okay? Get yourself a Spirit-filled life Bible, because in here there's so many things that'll blow your mind. But that word endurance, they explain it in the Spirit-filled life Bible. When you go back to the Hebrew, it says it means constancy, perseverance, continuance, bearing up, steadfastness, holding out, patient endurance. It describes the capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. Listen to this. Not with a passive complacency, but with a hopeful fortitude that actively resists weariness and defeat. You know, I often think about Dion and Kubo. They started this church, I'm not exactly sure when, but for more than 2 years, they continued with this church. Kuba was working Saturdays, Sundays. Dion had a full-time job. He would play the guitar, lead the worship, then he'd preach, then he would pack up afterwards. You know, they continued with a handful of people. And, you know, we visited them last year. One weekend, Kuba was pregnant then 7 months. She worked the whole Saturday until 5. She worked the Sunday until 1. She came home, brought a friend that she wanted to bring to church. And then at 3 o'clock, she was here to practice for the worship. You know, I said to her, Kuba, how do you do that? You're pregnant 7 months. They were just so committed. And you know what? It's endurance. They endured. Even though there was a handful of people, they endured, even though, you know, it didn't look good from Stellenbosch side to send somebody, because we really had a shortage at that stage of people who could come and could, you know, go to different places to start a church. They endured for more than 2 years. And, you know, I'm so blessed by what they did. If they didn't endure, Steph, you'll know, hey? Steph was here from, who else was here from the beginning? Sandra and Hanley and Stuart and Corin and Len. You know, you would know, they just endured, all of you actually endured. You could have said, oh, no, this church is going nowhere. But there was a living hope, there was something in your heart that said, this is going somewhere. And this is the point we need to come to. I mean, think about poor Noah who built the ark for how many years? No rain, people laughing at him. He endured. He endured. He had to build and build and build. There's no rain. People mocking him, laughing at him. You know, that is the place where we need to come to, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what is changing and what is different next week than last week. We need to endure. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. And that is what I want to come to. We do not lay aside every weight and sin. And we do not endure in our own strength. So you can sit back and relax. You know, it's not something we try and do in our own strength, because we will not be able to do that. Then we just put another burden on our shoulders. If we're now going to go home and try to get rid of sin in our lives and try to get rid of worries and concerns and try to endure in our own strength, then it's another big burden that we again need to roll into God's care. So that is not the point. How do we do it? The Bible says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, You know, people will disappoint you. Your own husband and your own wife, your own family, your best friend, your pastor maybe. You know, Andre might at some other stage disappoint some of you. And you know what? It's good in a certain sense because Jesus says we need to fix our eyes on Him. We shouldn't look to people. We should learn from people. And relationships are great, but you know what? Our expectation, I want to show you a beautiful scripture. Our expectation should be from the Lord. You know, we had a couple, I'm almost finished. We had a couple 3-4 years ago speaking to me and Andre. They were in the ministry. You know, many things happened. They really laid down their lives for the church and for God. And many things happened to them. They were really disillusioned. They were disappointed in leadership, in church, in, you know, and they got hurt. And they were good friends of us. And I say to God afterwards, Lord, what do I do with this? Because I was really upset about things that would, you know, that just the way in which they got hurt. I was really, it broke my heart. And I said to the Lord, what do I do with this? I don't know how to handle this now. And you know what God said to me? Sonika, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You know, God gave me no other option. He didn't even give me the option of feeling sorry for them. Or He said, you fix your eyes on Jesus. Because people will disappoint you. As I say, your husband, your wife, your best friend, people that you trust might some other time disappoint you or hurt you. And what do? Then you fix your eyes on Jesus, because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the only one that you can trust with all of your heart, and He will never let you down. He will never let you down. Okay, we're living in a world where nobody is nobody's perfect. You are probably going to disappoint and hurt people along the way. You know, so if you're going to do it, other people are probably going to do it to you. And we need to learn to handle that. We need to learn to fix our eyes upon Jesus. Psalm 138, verse 8 says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. The Lord, He will perfect that which concerns me. Psalm 62, verse 5, look at this beautiful scripture. It says, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. You know, we did a marriage course at the beginning of the year, first 6 months. We watched beautiful videos where they said, your spouse owes you nothing. Very interesting. Your spouse owes you nothing. I cannot expect anything from Andre, and he cannot expect anything from me. It clashes a bit. It clashes because it feels, of course I can expect a lot of things from him. He's my husband. You know, husbands are supposed to do this and this and this. But you know, it just blew our minds, the whole thing of your spouse owes you nothing. We look to Jesus. We look to God to fulfill whatever needs we have. And then whatever your husband or wife will do is a bonus. It's not an expectation, but it's just a bonus. Kobus and Rosalda can tell you all about that. All about the practical and the theoretical and the practical. But you know what? The Bible says our expectation should be from God. Whatever you expect, whatever you desire, whatever you want in life, we should look to Jesus to fulfill that. I'm almost finished. Matthew 24, second last scripture. It says, he who endures till the end shall be saved. You know what the Bible says? Jesus will come like a thief in the night. Nobody will know. He's just going to, one night or one day, he's just going to pitch. And he's going to come back for us. And the question is not at that very moment where you were 2 years before in your relationship with God, or even a week before. The question will be, right at that moment, where do you stand with God? Do you follow? Where do you stand? Have you forgiven somebody who did something wrong to you the previous day? Are you at a place where Jesus can say, well done, good and faithful servant? We need to endure. We're not busy with a 100-meter sprint. We're running this race and we need to endure right until Jesus comes back. And that is why it's so important to lay aside. I believe the scripture is so profound. We would not be able to endure, I believe, if we don't get rid of all these weights upon our shoulders and the sin that so easily ensnare. That is why we need to lay it aside. Because we need to endure people right until Jesus comes back. Okay, we can't endure for 2 years or for 5 years or for 2 weeks. We need to endure right until Jesus comes back. I just want to give you one last definition of endure. It's also in the Word Wealth, in your Spirit-Filled Life Bible, so you can look it up. It says to hold one's ground in conflict, to bear up against adversity, to hold out under stress. That sounds good to me. To stand firm, to persevere under pressure, to wait calmly and courageously. It is not passive resignation to fate and mere patience. We're not just surviving. Okay, we're not just going through the motions. It's not passive resignation to fate and mere patience, but the active, energetic resistance to defeat that allows calm and brave endurance. So endurance is not, oh, I'm just holding out. Jesus, please come back. I can't anymore, Lord. Please come back. It's an active, it's something that gives us strength. It's not something that's passive, that's, oh, Lord, please rescue me. You know, sometimes we feel like that. But when we come to a point, I believe, where we lay aside all our worries, we will roll it. Okay, remember the camel? We roll it into God's care. We will lay aside sin. And remember, we don't do it in our own strength. We fix our eyes on Jesus. He will help us. Then I believe endurance become a powerful walk with God. This race that we run, it's something powerful where Jesus strengthens us to endure. He wants us to endure and He will empower us to endure. So I want to encourage you tonight. For those of you who have something that you're going through, maybe for years, it can be sickness, it can be sin, it can be, maybe you feel you're sitting with a sin in your life and you can't get rid of it. It's tormenting you, it's coming back all the time, or sickness, or financial breakthrough, or salvation. You're praying for somebody for salvation and it's not happening. I want to encourage you tonight to do two things, to endure and to fix your eyes on Jesus. We're not going to give up. And I'm going to pray for all of you who feel that you're going through a lengthy period of something and you need endurance. I'm going to pray for you afterwards. My last scripture before we pray. Romans 5. This is going to encourage you. Look at this. It says, not only that, but we glory. Okay, the first portion might not encourage you. But it says, we glory in tribulations. Who likes to be in a tribulation? Not me. Do you like it, Reese? Did you raise your hand? No, tribulations are horrible. But it says we should glory in tribulations. Why? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or endurance. And we need endurance, people. We need to endure until Jesus comes back. So whenever we go through a trial or a tribulation, it will empower us to endure until Jesus comes back. So see it in that light. It's something that you're going through now, but it will empower you to endure until Jesus comes back. It says perseverance then produces character. So we'll grow closer to God, we'll become more like Jesus, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So when we go through tribulation, it produces perseverance. That perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. We can fix our eyes on Jesus and know that He will get us through this. He is going to help us through this. And you know that it says hope does not disappoint. I'm telling you, if you've ever gone through a time, a hard time, and Jesus came through for you, you know that He will do it again. You know, often when I go through a hard time, God often asks me the question, Sonika, have I ever failed you? And then I honestly think back. You know, I don't just say, Lord, no, never. I go back and I think, have God ever failed me? And then I say to Him, no, Lord, You've never failed me. And then He asks me, so why would I fail You now? Why would I now fail You? I've never failed You before. So with that, I want to leave you. So if you can please stand. I want to pray for those of you who really feel that you've lost hope. Maybe if you can just all close your eyes. Let's just consecrate just the next 5 minutes or so to the Lord. Then we're going to finish. There's so many things that I've spoken about, I know, but I felt so strongly in my heart that if there's people here, it feels to you as if you've been struggling with this thing for years. Maybe it's shorter, maybe it's a month or two, but it feels to you as if it's years. I want to pray for you tonight. And I can't guarantee you that it's going to be fixed. But what I know is that I believe God's going to empower you to endure. He's going to empower you to say, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. And I'm going to run this race with perseverance until Jesus comes back. So I want to ask you, maybe Dion, can we sing the first song, the first worship song? When we sing this song, I want to ask all of you who feel there's maybe sin in your life that God has showed you, or there's heavy burdens, heavy, heavy burdens, or there's something that you feel you've endured, but maybe you've given up. Maybe you've actually given up on this thing. I want to ask you to come to the front that we can pray for you. So when we sing this song, I just want to encourage you, be bold. Be bold. Okay, the reason why we ask people to come to the front is it's very powerful, because sometimes when you step out in faith and when you do that, you feel you're going to die 10 deaths. You feel embarrassed and you don't want to come to the front, but you know what? Nobody's going to know why you come. Nobody's going to know. And it's a sign to God when you say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender. I need You. Okay, so let's sing this song. Let's sing the song, and then I just want to encourage you, if you want me to pray for you tonight, if you just want to come to God and say, Lord, I want to endure, I want to fix my eyes on You, I'm giving You this something, please come. Okay, let's just sing this. Don't be afraid, okay? Just be bold. That I see. trust in you, Father.
In all of your ways, your promises forever.
Amen. Let's sing it with all of our hearts.
Jesus, I believe.
Lord, it takes to come to the front and to cry out for help, Lord. And tonight I pray by your Spirit that you will come and meet every need, that you will come and meet every heart tonight, Lord, that you will come and give the grace to endure, that you will give the grace, Lord, for us to fix our eyes on you. Lord, and tonight we just say, Lord, we're not going to give up. We're not going to look to the right or to the left, but we're going to look to you, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, whatever people respond for tonight, Lord, that you will come. That you will come and bring the breakthrough in Jesus' name. That you will come, Lord, and bring that season of spring. That you will bring that season of change in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that you are almighty. People, we serve an almighty God. He can do the impossible. Whatever feels impossible to you, God can change. And God can bring breakthrough. So just look to Him. Just fix your eyes on Him.